Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Lowes, and no Brian Svensson as he prepares for a socially distant wedding this weekend. But joining me on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
You know, what's weird is the bullpen phone has been ringing off the hook here. Last 2 weeks, you're away and then Brian's away, which is, it's real life. And the funny thing is last week, Brian was celebrating as we were airing, as we were doing the recording on last Thursday, his Tampa Bay Lightning got to the finals that game. Right. And then now today, if he was on, he could be celebrating his Blue Jays getting to the postseason for the first time since 2016, but I'm sure he's celebrating from afar.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We will tip a cap for in his honor for the Jays making that postseason. I mean, it wasn't intentional, but probably for the best that I stayed away for a couple of weeks so that my Twins could clinch a berth in the postseason.
Oh, well. I think to be honest, I was getting a little worried there for a second because they hit a tailspin, and the reverse, they're now in a battle for the AL Central. They have a chance still now because White Sox kind of scuffled and the Twins have picked it up a bit here. And that's actually one of the last good battles. Sort of, I mean, there's a whole bunch on the NL side for sure. But in the AL, a lot of it, basically, I think all the teams are now clinched as we tape here to get in the postseason. But there's still some jockeying for seeding. And if you're the Twins and you're a Twinkie fan, let's be honest, you would like to avoid the Yankees in the first round if you can.
This is definitely high on the list of things I would like in life. A vaccine for COVID being number one.
How crazy is this that the Twins will probably face the Yankees in the first round? Of all teams, there's 8 teams that make it this year, and those are the 2 that will match up in the first round. Like, you, I guess it just had to be that way, right? I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
The way the universe works for me.
It's 2020, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, as it stands, so Chicago is 1 game behind Minnesota. We're taping this Thursday night. And Cleveland is 2 back.
Cleveland, right? Because Cleveland has really pushed it the last little bit. I watched a couple games. They've had a couple walk-off wins.
Two straight walk-off wins.
Two straight. Where Chicago, like, if they win those 2 games, they're pretty much securing that division. All of a sudden, not only are the Twins in it, but if Cleveland, I mean, they have an outside shot. They'd have to, a lot of things would have to fall into place for them this weekend. But I mean, it's exciting because at one point it looked like pretty much all the divisions were going to be wrapped up and then maybe you're just playing for a couple seeds. But there's a lot we don't even want to talk about the NL. We will. But the AL has a lot of intrigue now going to last weekend as well as the NL.
Right. So we have pretty much, so like barring some sort of crazy disaster, 3 teams from the AL East and 3 teams from the AL Central, they have clinched. You've got Oakland with having clinched their spot because they have a 6.5 game lead on Houston,
right?
In the AL West, Houston sitting in that last wild card spot.
Now, if there was a justice, somehow they wouldn't make it, but of course they'll probably squeeze in there and then they'll make a run.
Yeah, because it's
another one.
It's pretty much like they're four games up on Los Angeles.
Right, it'd have to be an epic collapse there at this point.
They would basically have to face each other for four games and lose all four games, right?
Like that's pretty much the only chance that's going to happen, right? I mean, that said, again, it's looking like another year, and Brian's favorite and many others, Mike Trout, will not be in the postseason, even with the expanded, playoffs this year.
Despite Rob Manfred's best efforts.
That almost was, it seemed like they did that just to make sure that they could get Mike Trout in. And then, they got Anthony Rendon in the offseason, and they upgraded all over the place on that team, and they still can't get in. I'm dumbfounded they have a new manager, Madden came in there. So they were looking really good, and maybe COVID stopped their, and it was only 60 games this year, but so did everyone else had to play that system, and the Blue Jays made it somehow, and they did.
Yeah, no, pretty well. But I mean, Oakland was good start to finish.
Oh, Oakland's, I always champion them, right? I mean, they're a small market team, right? And they still play in that god-awful stadium, and somehow they find a way every year, and not only to find a way, but to win a division. That's a pretty big deal, regardless of the abridged season. It still counts.
Right, and regardless of, the veracity of Houston's World Series when they are in a division with a recent World Series champ with a lot of pedigree.
Well, Houston's on paper, Houston's still pretty stacked, right? I mean, they did lose Verlander this year, and that was a big blow. But still, that roster's pretty similar. The core from what they won a couple years ago, right? So it's on paper. I mean, Houston, they could have, they changed the manager, yes, and all that, but the nucleus was still there, and I think that's a huge accomplishment for the A's. And the interesting thing is, we'll talk next week. We'll already be in postseason mode. But how these are going to work, because it's going to be a best of three to start, and that's totally different. I mean, you can definitely steal a series. All you need to do is you get your ace the first game, and then you just split the other two games, and you've won the series.
Yeah, no. Hat tip also to the Rays, who won the AL East for the first time since 2010.
Yes. And that was a division that, like you said, three teams made it out of there to get to the postseason, and the Jays were one, which was great. And the Yankees, they were sort of in the mix there. They kind of were down and they came back up. But yeah, the Rays have been pretty solid all year, and they're going to be formidable to a team in the AL side.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Cy Young winner Blake Snell in the mix there, and like you said, if you in a three game series lead with your best pitcher and then win that one, and then you just have to win one of the other two.
I mean, and it's too bad Brian's not here. And maybe, the Jays are still there. The Jays should be playing next week when we tape. Is that, Ryu will be the starter. And he has been solid, especially, yeah. At the end of this the regular season. They'll probably play the Rays. They'll probably be one. Maybe not. Maybe, I mean, they're 7-8, right? So maybe they don't play the Rays. But, I mean, Ryu could win the game one, and then you've got to, you just need to win one more game to win the series.
Yeah. Keegan Matheson, beat reporter for MLB.com, wrote that the clincher happened, as he says, how the Blue Jays envisioned it would, with Hyunjin Ryu on the mound and Vlad Guerrero Jr. kickstarting the offense.
No, it was great. I watched a lot of that.
It was both game. Things that they wanted when they plotted out this season. In
terms totally.
Of
you know,
getting Ryu. Sort of,
that's right.
And building those young bats up.
I tell you this, Vladdy, Biggio, and Bichette have, and also, they've got some other contributions along the way, but those three guys have been sort of, the the young nucleus that the Jays have been looking at. And it was good, Vladdy, you know, he contributed, you know, I don't think he's had the year that some people were expecting a bit, but, you know, he's been there and he hit a big home run in the game that they clinched to get to postseason on Thursday when we tape here. And yeah, you know, Ryu is the big signing that they needed. They needed to have an ace, and they've had some, you know, they've gone through a lot of injuries this year. The Jays, you know, Bichette was out for almost half of the season. And you know, they lost their closer in Ken Giles, and a whole bunch of other players have kind of scuffled and somehow they figured out a way to make the postseason. And so, you know, I'm not the biggest Jays fan, but I do, you know, recognize that, you know, good for them. Everything now is gravy for them, right? This is just nothing but positive to get some experience in the postseason, be it if it's only for two games or if they make some kind of a little bit of a noise, right? And either way, that could only help going forward because, you know, this was a year that they, you know, one, they expanded the playoffs, but two, the Red Sox wasn't a down year. And Baltimore still Baltimore, right? So there was a chance to make it in, and they took advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially nice that they did it by beating up on the Yankees a couple games as well. Boston, though, like you say, this is a down year, but like, do you even see like light at the end of that particular tunnel? Like, this is a.
I mean, I think they did. Obviously, they. You know, they made a foreshadowing by you know, casting away Mookie Betts, right? One of the best young players in the major leagues, right? And so, you know, a whole point was to get under the luxury tax, right? So next year they can spend again, right? Because they'll get that wiped off the books, and then maybe they'll go back. But, you know, maybe the Red Sox maybe they'll do what the Yankees did, where they take a year or two off, where they're not going to be the big spenders and you know, just kind of build up again, right? That said, is, you know, I don't expect that because the Red Sox Nation, probably they don't have patience like other organizations where, you know, they expect to win. They won the World Series just 3 years ago, and, you know, it's a mighty fall pretty quick, right, to be one of the worst teams right now. And you're right, on paper, you know it seems like in a big hole, but if they're willing to spend, you can spend your way back into contention pretty quick in baseball.
Yeah, I think they caught a break as an organization in some sense with no fans in the stands this year, because like, they really deserve to catch a lot of grief for trading away Mookie Betts. You know, even if they didn't necessarily think they could sign him for the price that they wanted to. You know, I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he was talking to Desus and Mero, and they said, like, this would have been like if the Yankees traded like Derek Jeter before his age 27 season.
It is, because, you know what, because COVID sort of have, you know, it's been such a long year, and you kind of forget the off season prior to when the season was supposed to start March, April, right? But it's exactly right. I think that's a great analogy, because, you know, it's very rare to see a guy in his prime. I mean, I don't even think he's at his peak yet.
No.
And Mookie Betts is now going to be, you know, he's the Dodgers smart to kind of lock him in now. You just kind of gave him up, really, you know, and for not much back on, you know, they won a World Series, I guess, right? And so, I mean, that's always what you're looking for any organization, but it is a bit shocking as sort of why they did that. I mean, I think they could have afforded to spend the money if they wanted. They've already been over the luxury tax before, so what would it be just more over it? But they chose to make this decision, and they're going to sit and maybe take a couple lumps over the next couple seasons before they get back into contention.
Well, especially going when their owner's one of the richest owners in all of baseball, right? I mean, because he owns like a Premier League team as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, you know, and it's not like the Red Sox don't make money. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they've won quite a bit over the last decade plus. And yeah, it's Red Sox Nation, right? So they're going to have that fan base just like the Yankees have, or the Dodgers, or the Cubs, or any of those established teams. I mean, they're probably in the top four of, you know, the main four that people would know. What would you know if you don't know Major League Baseball too much? You know, the Boston Red Sox, you know, the Yankees, you know, the Dodgers and the Cubs, right? So
yeah,
those are kind of the and maybe St. Louis in that mix too, right? But that said, is, you know, it's not like they haven't won some titles over the last little bit. So I mean, unless you're a Red Sox fan, I don't think a lot of people are kind of shedding a lot.
No, don't shed a lot of tears for the New England sports fan.
That's a bigger question. Of, you know, there's some, if you were like a 10-year-old kid, you've seen like, you know, World Series, Stanley Cup, Super Bowls, and an NBA title basically within the last 10 years, which is kind of, I think the last one, the latest was the Celtics, might have been in the last decade. But other than that, you've been pretty good. You've had pretty much a celebration every 1 or 2 years on one of the big four North American pro teams.
That's pretty good, yeah. You're saying shocking before, that word pinged on me, because I was reading about the Keegan-Matheson piece about the Jays clinching. Ryu pitched 7 shutout innings to drop his ERA to 2.69 for the season, but he became the first Blue Jays starter to throw a pitch in the 7th inning this season.
Yeah, you know what? That I was surprised when I saw that stat. It was like the longest outing of a Jays pitcher all year. Now, again, remember, they were only playing 60-game season, but even still.
But in 60 games, you would have imagined one starter got
someone,
the
set. Right?
Like the 7th, this wasn't like he was throwing in the 9th.
Right. But the funny thing is also because you got to also remember, and I don't think the Jays played too many of them, but there was a lot more doubleheaders this year because they needed to fit in the games. And doubleheaders were only 7 games, so that actually technically would have been a complete game if you were playing a doubleheader this year.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, but I think the point is made. I mean, Ryu is kind of saved his best for last when they needed to clinch a postseason. And so, you know, worth the money to spend to be the ace on that roster. Another stat I saw today was Vladdy Guerrero made it to, would it be 100? I think it's 100 RBIs. Does this sound right about in his Jays career, and he was the youngest player to do it?
Oh, between 21. Last year and this year.
That's right.
Under age 21, it might have been. Yeah. I didn't see that stat, but I can.
Yeah, they put that up on the telecast there, and so I mean, you know, like, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him because of the hype, and you know, I think he's kind of had an uneven season, but maybe, you know, the he's coming on a little bit at the end here, and maybe he'll help out in the postseason. But you know, Bo Bichette coming back there, I think he's been probably the strongest of the three, and Biggio has been solid as well too. And yeah, we'll see what happens. Hey, it's exciting, right? To, mm-hmm. You know, if you're in Canada here, you've got a team to cheer for next week in the postseason.
Quick tip of the cap and pour one out for Alex Gordon, a longtime Royal star who announced he's retiring.
Yeah.
I know you obviously have a longtime affiliation with the Royals there as a, you know, family connection. So
total soft spot there, Alex Gordon. And you know, it's very rare. I believe I read today, so 14 years with the same organization. He was sort of a bust a bit at the start of his career. He was up and down in the minors. And then he got, he kind of found his footing there, became a gold glove winner. Obviously won a world championship with the Royals in 2015. And he's just been one of those, you know, those, that franchise player, right? And so I think it was George Brett and I think he's right in that pantheon, and Frank White of kind of being there the longest as a Royal there. So, you know, great career. Obviously the Royals haven't done so well lately, but again, flags fly forever in that 15 championship they'll be talking about. They'll be talking about that one for the next 30 years like they did in 85.
He was number 2 overall pick in the 2005 draft. But in 2010, he switched from third base to left field. And at that point, when he became an all-star, he is a 7-time Gold Glove award winner in left field.
Yeah, I mean, that's some impressive stats, right? I mean, again, because of where he plays in the Midwest, right? Even when they won the championship, I don't think they got their due there, Kansas City, just because they don't play on either the coast. And, you know, Kansas City sort of, let's be honest, they had that pocket of 2 years where they really kind of maximized their talent, and they won a championship. I mean, I'm sure Brian would have taken one there. It was kind of that same period where the Jays, were right battling with the Royals, but the Royals just had a little bit more, and Alex Gordon was part of that. And yeah, so it'll be a great career with the Royals, and he'll be in their Hall of Fame for the team. And I saw a lot of games that he played over in Kauffman Stadium.
Now, we did tease it earlier, so we should talk about the National League side of things as we look towards this postseason here.
Oh, my goodness, what a mess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's certainly not the clear picture that we've got. I mean, there's still, as we said, the AL Central to shake out over these last few That's games. Right. But even just who might get into the postseason is still in question.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, this is sort of, when you had the more teams, then you're going to have maybe more clarity on the AL. But the NL, it's still a battle to just make it in the postseason. I mean, the Dodgers, I would say, congratulations to them to make 8 consecutive NL West titles. So I think the Braves and the Yankees are the only other two organizations that have had a longer reign of winning division titles. And I know
they haven't had the benefit of playing in the NL East. Atlanta, who, had a real nice time of it with some.
That record was, I think Atlanta has the most. I think it was like something like 14 straight. Something crazy like that. I mean, it's just a phenomenal stat. I mean,
as a hat tip to the hatless Mets as well.
Right. I mean, the crazy thing, thankfully, at least they won one of those championships 1 year, because right. They would have been the Buffalo Bills, times 10, times 14, oof, yeah. Really, if they never won at least one of them, right? So, I mean, the problem with that is because, they had a very weak division that they would keep winning. And then when they get in the postseason, they sort of found more competition or they would run into a couple of juggernauts like the Yankees and they just couldn't seal a deal, but they got one. So better than some organizations.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So they obviously Atlanta clinches the NL East. Chicago clinches a postseason berth. They currently lead their 3 games up on St. Louis. And then let's give it a big round of applause for San Diego.
Oh yeah.
Man, like, if Tatis alone wasn't one of the stories of the year, the fact that the Padres are, first of all, they're playing 600 ball.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not just fluking this way in. They're making a statement. They're an exciting team, right? They're a young team, and they're also just a team that hasn't been there, right, for a while. So I think, and Tatis is probably, that's the young star that the MLB, unwritten rules or not, that they should be hanging their hat on, because that guy is, anytime he's on TV, and that's a hard thing too, because they play on the West Coast a lot, so you don't see as much on TV, but hopefully people will get to see them shine in the postseason this year.
Yeah, unless you've got like Sportsnet Pacific or something, these are not games you're getting to see all that often. It's a good thing that Dodgers did acquire Mookie Betts, because at this young squad on the Padres, like, they're in for some stiff competition over the next few years.
Oh, totally. And, because the Dodgers sort of have been walking through those divisions the last little while there, I think the Padres are the real deal, right? They've been pretty close pretty much all year. It hasn't been, just a cakewalk. And we'll see here. I mean, the Dodgers, I feel they're like the Braves of the 90s a bit here. They got to win one of these one year, right? Because it's all good. You can win all these games in the regular season. And they've been close, don't get me wrong. And, trash cans aside, officially they haven't won a World Series with this group. And if it's not this year, I don't know when it's going to be, right? Because we'll see with the bubble and stuff, it might help teams or not help teams, but I mean, they're there to, to try and see if they can represent the NL, but I think there'll be some competition too. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, so as it stands on Thursday night, San Francisco, amazingly,
wow,
one of the wild card spots, and then half game out, you got Cincinnati and Milwaukee,
I'd like to see Cincinnati. If I had to make a choice, I mean,
amongst those Giants three, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants have, you know, they've won their World Series titles, and Cincinnati's just been really having, you know, a hard time over the last little while. And, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to see Trevor Bauer in the postseason?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a little conflicted because I'd like to see Joey Votto in the postseason. Well, Trevor Bauer, less so.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but I guess it was earlier this week. He sort of did a Conor McGregor strut after he finished an inning there. Of course, if you're on social media, he's just going to say,
if you're on baseball Twitter at all, that guy makes himself known.
He's a walking meme, right? I mean, it's just crazy, right? But, I mean, love him or hate him, I mean, the guy has been pitching like lights out this year, right? He is, you know, what you know, again, especially in short series, if the Reds somehow get in there, I mean, they've got an ace, right? And I mean, the Giants, I think, would be a surprise. The Nationals' reign was, you know, thanks for coming out, but you won your title last year, and they're not going to do this year. But it's still exciting, you know. It could go right to the last day, and if I'm not mistaken, what I read, there will not be. I don't believe there's a game 61, unless. I think they're just tiebreakers they're going to figure out of the games itself, just because I don't think they have time to
fit in another game.
Right. Yeah. And actually, because St. Louis will not have finished with 60 games this year. I don't know if you knew that, but unless they need to play games, St. Louis, I believe, will finish with 58 games because of COVID. They tried to get in and squeeze in as many as they could, but they took that kind of 2-week break, and they've been trying to make up games, but because of weather and stuff, there's only so many doubleheaders, I guess, they could play, right? Like, there's a certain point that I guess they just kind of ran out of time, but I think they're just going to use the percentage of the games to figure out if they need to get the tiebreakers.
Right there, they've played 53 games, and like the rest of the division's played 57.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'll say this. When we started this back in August, you know, I think it was a 50-50 chance that they were going to make it this far. So yeah. I will give credit that somehow, some way, and it started from the first game where Soto was out because of COVID, Juan Soto with the Nats. You know, they've just – this is sort of without a bubble. You're going to have this you know, these cases come up and teams have kind of fought their way through it. And if they can make it to postseason, then they'll kind of go through a little bit of the bubble as they get towards the World Series. And I guess we'll actually finish the season in 2020.
Pretty wild.
It is. Yes. As is the whole year.
Yeah. As is everything.
As everything else. But that says it's been some exciting baseball, what I've seen, you know. I mean, you know, there's 1,000 sports now going because basically all the leagues are going in North America. But if you're a baseball fan, I mean, there will be nothing more than postseason starting next week. And like we were saying, the Jays will be involved regardless where their seating is. And they have a shot just like anyone else, right? Because especially in the early series, best of three, we haven't seen this forever. And you know, I mean, all you have to do is get hot and you can have some good pitching and you can make a run.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is like the equivalent of the Stanley Cup playoffs where like you ride the hot goalie, right? Like
totally. Totally. I mean, you know, you get a good starter, your bullpen's good, you get some timely hitting, you know. I don't think any of that's out of the realm of impossibility. I mean, I think especially teams like, you know, the Jays or teams that are kind of on the bubble there in the NL, all you need to do is get in. You know, and then you have no pressure on you, right? No one's going to expect anything from a 7 or 8 seed, right? So, you know, and then go out and you just play ball.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to have to hand things over to Front Burner as I look at the time here. But next week we'll be talking playoffs.
Playoffs? Oh, and let's play ball. That is exciting. Before we go to just, you know, all the best for everyone who's finished up their fantasy baseball this week. It's a big week. I didn't make it. Actually, in one league, I am sort of in a quasi playoff or whatever. But I know Brian was saying your teams were doing good there. And so all the best for people listening if they're finishing up their fantasy baseball this weekend.
We made the smart move of getting Tatis this season.
That's my hope.
Right on. Well, stick around. We'll be back next week. Follow us on at the Bench Jockeys in the meantime, and enjoy your weekend, folks.
And play ball!
Strike three, you're out.